Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have an email from Nathan.
Oh, this is a Nathan B.
You get to read it, Nathan.
I wonder if Nathan is a Nathan slash Nate, because that's what I am. I'm like 50-50.
You're 50-50. I've always wondered about that, because sometimes you say Nate, sometimes you say Nathan.
So I have always introduced myself until just recently. I don't know why I changed, but I've always said I'm Nathan, and I still do on like the shows and stuff. I say I'm Nathan Fox. It's just natural. It comes out of my mouth. I think when I say my last name, I like to say Nathan. But if I just go say hi to somebody, I say, hi, I'm Nate these days.
Okay.
I really don't know why. Trying to be softer, I guess.
Okay.
After graduating from college last year in May, could have just said last May. After graduating from college last May, I studied full-time for the LSAT for 8 months. I subsequently pulled a 175 plus on the January LSAT. Ben's head does that thing that dogs do when they go,
Oh, thanks, man. What?
Because 175 plus, I mean, you could have just said the exact number. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my GPA will be competitive for the upcoming cycle. Again,
Nathan's not wanting to give us his exact number.
For some reason. I want you to help coy me, here, but I'm not going to quite tell you. we're just fucking with you. But it, yeah, you could have been more specific.
It actually kind of matters because, like, as we just saw on a previous episode, if you guys are following along in the episodes.
Oh, with Gabe.
The GPA matters a lot for people who are applying to these top tier programs. And you obviously have the LSAT to do so. So where's your GPA? Is it 3.9 or is it 3.96? That makes a big difference.
So 175 plus, not telling you what the number is.
So it's got to be a 170. Is that a 176?
80. Yeah, it could be a 176. Exactly. or it could be a 180.
And he just doesn't want to say it.
He doesn't want to brag. He wants to, but he wants to tell us that it was impressive.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to tell us how impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, and a competitive GPA. Got it. I know that I made the right decision by working exclusively on the LSAT, but I imagine that law schools, especially those top ones where softs matter a lot, may have questions about the tilde space 9 months gap. Parentheses, one of them explicitly asks applicants what they've been up to since graduating from college. Okay, that doesn't mean that they really give a shit that much, though, dude. Like, I disagree with your premise that the softs matter so much at the top law schools.
I guess I disagree, too, and I think you can answer that question without addressing the gap. You just talk about something you did before or after the gap, or something you did during the gap that wasn't LSAT. I mean, I can't believe you just did LSAT exclusively. Did you, I don't know. Fine.
You could also, like, there's, I mean, I don't know. If I
studied
was
for the LSAT?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just own it. Just own it. It does not matter. That's the thing. It doesn't matter.
I don't know, man. Law schools want killers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this over on the Thinking LSAT podcast just recently.
Mm-hmm.
That ultimately we want an awesome attorney in the literal formal definition of the word awesome.
Awe-inspiring.
Awe-inspiring, which means fear. Okay? So if you're hiring a lawyer, you want to hire someone that other lawyers are afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that might inspire fear is the fact that you will do what it takes to achieve your goals. You'll figure out the things that really matter and do those things.
Yep.
And if I was evaluating an applicant and someone said, yeah, I studied for 9 months so that I could get my 175 plus, I might go, oh shit, That's somebody who knows what's important and does what's important. And that might be scary to me if I was an attorney on the other side. It would be like, oh, 9 months of his life. And he ended up with a 176 to 180.
Focusing on the thing that matters most to the application. Focusing on
the one thing that's going to actually move the needle the most of all the things that he could control, because his GPA is already done. So the LSAT was the only thing that he could actually control. So he did that, or the most important thing that he could actually control. So he did that for 9 fucking months. That might be like, oh shit, like that's the killer.
Yeah, I'm glad we're having this discussion, because you need to change your mindset about it. I think that if you give into the mindset that that's a bad thing, that you, I only have my 175 plus because I did this exclusively, and I don't know, you're asking about it presumably because you're thinking it's not an adequate answer. That mindset is going to come out in however you talk about it, and now it's going to look like something that's bad, right? Like, you're making excuses for it.
He only looks like that when he takes his shirt off because he works out every day for 2 hours. he only fixed that relationship with his mom because he quit drinking and went to therapy and, started meditating every day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's totally explainable.
I mean, he didn't just magically do it. He worked really hard at it. So, yeah. Doesn't count.
Yeah, whatever. I could have done that.
they want people who just naturally get a 178. They don't want people who worked for it. It's bullshit. Law schools only care about your highest score. We've sent people to Yale who took the test 5 times. They want high LSAT scores. They don't expect that you magically get that high LSAT score on your first attempt. They respect people who worked for it, because lawyers work for it.
Yep.
Like, what? So, Nathan thinks that, like, they'd like it better if he did an internship or traveled around or...
I don't know. He's also got to focus on the reality of the situation, which is he is a competitive applicant. So, end of story.
Except the fact that you are a very strong applicant.
Yeah, let's stop getting distracted by the fact that you're concerned. Like, an admissions officer was stupid enough to challenge you on that, like, oh, I see you have a 9 months here that you didn't do anything, you didn't work. You should give no attention to that question. You should just simply say, yeah, I was studying for the LSAT.
Yeah.
Period. Done. Next question. Like,
Yeah. I was studying for the LSAT. Okay. If that's the response to your question,
yeah.
Imagine what the reader is going to do. What do you think's one of the things beneficial to Nathan that the reader might do?
Look at your LSAT score.
Yes. Look at his LSAT score again.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, which is 175 plus. Yeah. So it's like, what have you been up to since you graduated from college? Oh, I was working on my LSAT.
Mm-hmm. Which is what you use to secure your ranking.
It's pointing at the scoreboard. It's like, what have I been doing since college?
Scoring that. Points.
I did that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else you got? Yep. Let's move on to the next question, because I was doing that.
Yep.
Nathan continues. Also, my resume as of now is thin. Ben, do we need the phrase as of now? Are we ever, ever going to use the phrase as of now?
No. Your resume is something. That means that's what it is now. Cut
those 3 words. I understand that we're mere podcasters and you're just tossing off this question to the show, but you all need to start presenting yourselves more professionally in your writing, because that's what lawyers do. And one of the ways that you can do that is you write exactly this email that Nathan wrote, and then you edit it and make it about half as long.
Yep.
Because there's just many places where we could have just cut words without changing the meaning at all. So it's just, it makes you, because here's the thing, I'm sorry, but it makes you sound like you're not a good writer. Okay. My resume is thin because I prioritized my GPA above anything else.
Again, scoreboard. None of this, Matt, like, you literally...
I know.
You did the best things possible.
Dude, you decided not to do your LSAT prep during your undergrad because you were prioritizing your GPA, which is exactly what you should have done. So you got the best grades you could get. Then you didn't get a dumbass job or internship or something because you wanted to get the best LSAT you could get, which you did. So you point to the scoreboard and you go, well, I got that GPA and I got that LSAT. How do you feel about that?
Yep.
Nathan, you need to go to LSATdemon.com/scholarships. You need to put in your awesome GPA and put in your awesome LSAT score and hit calculate or whatever the button says. And you need to see all of the amazing offers that you're going to get based solely on your LSAT and your GPA.
And notice what the estimator is not going to ask you, which is what have you done since you left college?
Yeah, exactly. And let's be clear. The estimator is very accurate. Okay. It's not like one for one exactly perfectly accurate in every case, but it is very accurate using only those two bits of data. The reason why it's very accurate using only those two bits of data is that law schools lean extremely heavily on those two bits of data. Dean Z from the University of Michigan said it explicitly. LSAT and GPA explain 50% of 1L grades at Michigan actual law school. Not only that, but they are important because they get reported in the 509 reports, which then go to the rankings agencies, which what she meant was U.S. News. So, Nathan, you did everything perfectly because you have demonstrated. So you've got numbers on record that Dean Z is going to be like, oh, yeah, that makes me look good.
Yep.
Like those will help my 509.
And I know you know how to do school. You are applying to school. Yeah. You're applying to school and you've shown that you know how to do school. You don't show that you know how to do school by going and getting a job. You don't show that you know how to do school by vacationing somewhere and then doing some amazing service somewhere. You show that you know how to do school by doing well in school.
Yeah, you have given Dean Z exactly what she wants.
Yep. I'm glad that Nathan B is trying to put his best foot forward and trying to do everything he possibly can to have a great application and go for free and go to the best school possible. But you have to realize, and I don't want to like undercut that drive, but you have to realize that you're already good enough and in all the right ways. And you need to recognize that. Like there's this sense of, oh, I'm not good enough in this. Like you're like, I heard that stats, while very important, are not sufficient to guarantee a good outcome.
Get the off Reddit.
Yeah. Like you're something's getting in your head and you need to realize that you are good enough. So you stand up for yourself and ask and demand for the best offers possible at the best schools.
They admit hundreds of applicants every single year. Many of those applicants come straight out of undergrad. Nathan continues, even if I start working next month, I'll only have 6 months of work experience. Yeah, they admit people who applied during the fall of their senior year, who graduate in June and then start law school that fall. So they admit people who haven't even graduated yet. So you are an excellent applicant already to all of the top law schools, and you need to stop selling yourself short.
By the way, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Shamefully, yes.
Okay. So I had no idea what teams were playing before I even started watching. But as I was watching, I couldn't stop talking about the Rams jersey numbers.
Okay.
It looked like someone had ironed them on with like, right before the game. And they're like wrinkly and like stuck together almost. And I was like, Who made these jerseys and for the Super Bowl? But does anyone care? They won. No one cares. No one cares about my stupid complaints, right?
I didn't notice that, but You're more interested in fashion than I thought you were.
I don't know what it is. It's I don't care. Yeah, something about the font too. I was like, that's because I don't care about football. So I'm sitting here like, who made these fucking jerseys? They look like they're, you know, anyways.
You've already won is the point. You've won the Super Bowl.
You've won and you're worried about some things that just don't matter.
About things that you can't control. I mean, so like Nathan continues, is it worth it to apply next cycle regardless? If I do apply, how can I address the gap? So like Nathan is actually considering
delaying
applying
school
this fall because he thinks it'll help his application to go get some dumbass job for a year. I guess it could help your application, but why wouldn't you just let them make that decision for you? Like, you should apply on September 1st. You've got the LSAT, you've got the GPA. Dean Z wants to hear from you.
Yep.
I mean, and, you know, she is a person who gives full rides plus stipends sometimes to people who look a lot like you. So you should apply now. And I don't care what you do. I mean, you know, what is it that you're passionate about? You should start learning about if you know, you apparently want to practice law. So do whatever you can in between now and then to learn about that field. You'll probably hate it and decide you want to work in some other field. You'll probably hate that one too, and then decide you want to work in some other field. But when you do that 9 times, then maybe you'll find the thing that's the right thing for you, and you need to start that process. Maybe you'll luck out on the first one, but most people don't. But make some contacts, make some friends, learn as much as you can about that area of law. And if some of that ends up making it to your resume or your personal statement, great. But if it doesn't, I don't. Yeah. You're in good shape.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.